I'd like to welcome you here today. The good news is the room is full at 9:15, which is rare in Washington. The bad news is there are a lot more of you coming. So for any of you who would like to continue to have your seat, I would mark it very distinctly when you get up for coffee. And keep in mind, we're an informal place. Anyone who wishes to get up and get a coffee, it's in the back corner there, and you can do that at any time. We hope to have time for the dialogue because we have a very high-quality group of people here in this audience today. We basically did not advertise this event, but we are nonetheless full. This is the Academy of Sciences where you are, and hopefully towards the end of the day, some of you will be able to enjoy a very good glass of a variety of wines. You should always hold out hope for your audience. There will be a wine tasting at the end of the day for those of you who can make it through. The board, I mentioned and emphasized economics in the board on science, technology, and economic policy. And I think many of you know that in this town there's sometimes a tendency for everyone to talk about the latest and keenest technology. But what we're about today is to talk a bit about the technologies, but talk about how we can deploy those technologies and how, as one of our leading company representatives said today, talk about doing it quickly and doing it as quickly as possible. We have done a variety of things in this program on how you work together with industry and with the government and with universities. Gordon Moore, whom as some of you may know is a successful entrepreneur, I think we could say, was kind enough to chair some of our work. And we have a number of other very distinguished leaders working on a pro bono basis today who are leading other activities, one of them Ambassador Alan Wolf. And we've been doing this through a time, shall we say, of policy hiatus in this area. I'll be pleased to point out, and by the way, someone asked how much the books cost. They cost a lot to produce, but they don't cost anything to take. So you're welcome to take whatever you want out here in the back, both food and intellectual nourishment. But one of the things you'll see in this is a discussion of IMEC, the Inter-University Microelectronics Initiative, and we're very pleased to welcome Mr. Van Heldput, who has been kind enough to come all the way from Flanders to talk about this. Some of you may find it a little strange, but Flanders is not the largest part of Europe, but it's a very innovative part, and we think that there are lessons to learn from what they have done. You'll see a number of other volumes out there, but that is the key one. There's a key point from Gordon Moore's study, and that is that these partnerships work, but you'll have to note a few other words there. They work when they're properly structured, funded, managed, and led. We have, I should confess, a very strong bias in this house. I've worked in the government, and I've worked in universities, and so I am convinced that industry is the one that should lead these types of consortia. Thank you for those of you who appreciate my humor. And we have opportunities to contribute to national growth, to the security of our nation in more profound ways than simple military force. And we also have a way of contributing to the recovery of our economy and to the jobs that we need. I'd like to point out that there are a number of programs that we have, both the Small Business Innovation Research Program and the Technology Innovation Program out at NIST. In fact, I think Mark Stanley, the executive director from that program, is among us today. Both of those have made remarkable progress. For those of you who don't know, there's a lot of talk about Chrysler and A123, the battery company up in Massachusetts. Well, that battery company was created with the help of the Department of Energy about 4 years ago with a whole series of SBIR awards. And I think it's just interesting that we tend to forget where some of the nurturing comes in this process. You'll be hearing a lot about Semitech, a very successful model. But one of the questions I think we need to keep in mind is the importance of using proven and ideally existing mechanisms. When you're trying to do things quickly, when you want to put together considerable sums of money, having mechanisms that are already in place is a very good idea. You can get a better mechanism, but that'll take 2 years. And actually, it may not be better. I would argue strongly that we need to use some of the institutions we already have. So one of the key questions we often ask, and I heard the president give a really wonderful speech on Thursday, is how do we keep the industry we have? How do we generate the new industries of the future? How do we address something that is often not talked about much here in Washington, which is the fierce locational competition that is going on in the world for the industries of today and for the industries of tomorrow? Taking care of our industry, making it an attractive environment, is not something that is, to my mind, simply a lobbyist view. It is essential for the future growth of the country. And one of the ways we can do that is by bringing together the tremendous research, tremendous assets of the research universities in the United States, the tremendous qualities that we have with the vibrant industrial structure, and with an informed and activist government with the funds necessary to help us cooperate. So today's cooperation is going to talk about the future of photovoltaic manufacturing in the United States. And we would like to focus, as I mentioned, on the practical steps needed to bring existing PV technologies forward. We would welcome your suggestions to the issues that we need to look at. My colleague and friend and committee member, Clark McFadden, who has played an illustrious role in helping consortia to form on a wide variety of pressing industrial and social issues, he gives his time on a pro bono basis, just as the chairman of our groups all give their time on a pro bono basis. And actually, some of us paid by the Academy think it's largely on a pro bono basis, but nonetheless, we work together to try and bring you here to have a promising discussion. And I'd like to simply suggest that it's springtime in Washington. It's springtime in the sense that there are new opportunities, serious challenges, new opportunities for growth, new funding, and our task is how to ensure that that growth is healthy and sustainable over time. And before I close, I would also like to thank our sponsors, and in particular, Mr. Leschetsky from the Department of Energy and Marie Mapes, who have been instrumental in bringing you all here together. We thank you for taking the time to be with us, and we look forward to a productive discussion. Thank you very much.
I'm Clark McFadden, a member of the STEP committee that's hosting the meeting today, and I'd like to add my welcome to Chuck's welcome you also on behalf of Dr. Mary Good, the chair of our committee, who unfortunately was not able to be here today. We are gathered together at a time of urgency and great opportunity with respect to the country's energy usage. The urgency comes from trying to reverse a steep economic downturn through expenditure of, in large part, substantial government resources. The urgency regarding energy is not that we spend too much on energy, but that we do it with inefficiency and with high collateral costs. The opportunity comes from the willingness, indeed the necessity, of changing behavior in a crisis, and from the government's commitment to change our energy future. President Obama has made energy, along with health care and education, one of the main priorities for the future of our nation's prosperity, competitiveness, and national security. This has been accompanied by a commitment of major government funding and the establishment of ambitious goals, 10% of our energy to come from renewable sources by 2012 and 25% by 2025. photovoltaic or solar energy can play a major part in addressing this urgency and opportunity. To succeed, however, solar energy, like most other forms of energy, needs to be more efficient. And this is where photovoltaic manufacturing comes in. Manufacturing generally provides significant benefits to a nation through high-value jobs and stimulation of infrastructure and research. Photovoltaic manufacturing has another promise. It can greatly enhance the efficiency of solar energy. The clear analogy is to the manufacturing in the semiconductor industry. The semiconductors have dramatically changed our lives. At their infancy, however, integrated circuits were too expensive to be used in all but the most cost-insensitive applications, such as intercontinental ballistic missiles. But in large part through manufacturing improvements, the cost of integrated circuits dramatically and persistently has been reduced, along with an expansion of their capabilities in accordance with what's become known as Moore's Law. While there are many differences with semiconductors, the potential contribution of improving photovoltaic manufacturing deserves our closest attention at this time. At such a moment of opportunity, can we change the nation's energy usage by applying new resources of government and innovation of industry? For photovoltaic manufacturing, this will require improvements in process technology, for example, the application of flexible electronics, new materials, and manufacturing tools. It will require new financial arrangements to provide incentives from the public sector and the private sector. And it will require new ways of collaboration and interaction, new structures that go beyond standard government procurement. Some of these structures are existing today, as Chuck mentioned. Today's discussion is to focus on the best forms of this cooperation between government and industry. To do this, in the very best tradition of the STEP Board, we plan to ask industry what is needed. This will be the task of the first two panels. The third panel will look at current lessons and best practices, both from U.S. models like Semitech and from IMEC, the consortium in Belgium. Panel four will look at the economics of photovoltaics in the United States and include descriptions of the progress that is being made in Toledo, Ohio. Panel five will examine the opportunities presented by flexible electronics to meet the needs of solar power manufacturing and generation. We will close the meeting with a roundtable to discuss what we've learned and what we need to learn. This is designed to be an open discussion from the floor. Finding new approaches to collaboration is one of the reasons the Department of Energy is supporting our efforts today. DOE has special responsibilities, expertise, and resources to contribute to the energy challenges facing the nation. We're pleased to have many officials from the department here with us today, including officials from other departments that focus on the energy challenges facing our nation. To start us off, we will hear from John Leshefsky, who can surely enlighten us on the urgency and opportunities facing us today. John has had extensive experience in the private sector with the solar industry. He's been with DOE, I think, almost 9 months now, and he's leading DOE's efforts in energy efficiency, something that is directly on point to what we're dealing with today. So I'd like to start off with John and welcome him to the session today as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Clark. I'm going to keep my comments here brief and informal. One reason is because I think I can do long and boring pretty well, so I'll work on something different. But also because I'm here to listen to all of you, and I certainly appreciate the great turnout that we've had here today. and the really special lineup in this workshop today. We're very, very excited about this. This is kind of a coming out party, if you will, of a lot of discussions that we've been having within DOE as part of the Solar Energy Technology Program over the last 6 or 9 months. A lot of these have been going on with individuals here today. The topics at first seemed very spread out and maybe unrelated. We started having discussions about, obviously, how do you reduce cost in photovoltaics. And then we got into discussions about industry standards and roadmaps, workforce development, university corporate partnerships, finance models and issues with both manufacturing and large projects. And we were kind of going off on single tracks on those, and I imagine that we'll still continue to look at those individually. But at a certain point, the light bulb went on, and we started to say, what we're really trying to look at here is, what is the future of PV manufacturing in the United States? How do you bring all together all these issues to provide some sort of a comprehensive, broad response that is helpful to this industry? And just as background, the way we look at the solar program and many other programs within DOE is certainly not to replace anything that the private sector would do. And as Chuck said, I think we're all about capitalists and realize that there's probably danger in too much government. But we also see that there is a role for government to play in accelerating what industry can do on its own. So that's what we are here, I think, to do, to understand what are the industry needs in greater detail and to help guide a response that is prompt, effective, strategic, and helps this industry move forward very, very quickly. Some of the discussions that we've had are different models. Sematech has been raised as one particular model, and we've studied that extensively. In one conversation that Chuck and I had a couple months ago, we raised that over lunch, and within 5 minutes, I think Chuck had called his office and had two or three volumes that the National Academies had done studying Sematech on our desk there at the restaurant. All of a sudden it dawned on me that I hadn't really reached out to the right people yet, and that by working through National Academies, the topic that we were interested in could be done much more effectively. So I thank Chuck and his staff, David Dirksitti, hope I pronounced that correctly, and Adam Gertz for pulling this workshop together in a very short amount of time. This was done in about 60 to 90 days. I think it speaks to the effectiveness and the professionalism of the National Academy staff. It also speaks, I think, to the timeliness and the interest in this particular topic. I'd also like to thank Marie Mapes from the Solar Energy Technology Program, who worked with Chuck and his staff in pulling this together. So again, we're very, very interested in this topic. We are will be absorbing the discussions here today. This is just the beginning of what we see as a series of events that could go on over several months. We don't look at this as though dragging out is some long bureaucratic process, but hopefully in a timely way, create a intelligent, methodical, responsive policy that will move this industry forward. So again, thank you all for being here, and I look forward to talking with you all throughout the day. Thanks very much.